This is Casey Cares, Kansas City's window on the nonprofit community and the people they serve. I'm Ruth Baum Biggis, and it is a kind of cloudy Monday, but we're glad to be here. We have a full lineup of guests today with organizations that are doing good work in Kansas City in a variety of ways. So let's get right to our first guests, and they are with the Jewish Community Foundation of Greater Kansas City. We have Lauren Hoops. I thought it was Hoops. A friend.
Rhymes with good-looking books. There That's what my husband, the professor, says.
There you go. And Lauren, you have been the executive director now for
13-plus years.
Oh, my goodness.
Years,
since Has it really been that long?
August of 2003. Yes.
Well, happy early anniversary.
Why, thank you. Appreciate
and
it.
She has with her Mr. Josh Stein, who is director of fund development.
Correct.
What is a director of fund development? I mean, it's such a long title for folks who may not know, and then we'll dive into the foundation overall, but it sounds very important.
Thank you. So I work with new fund holders, people who are interested to learn about what the Jewish Community Foundation can do to help them with their charitable giving, and have the opportunity to also work with the different community organizations to help them establish and grow their endowment resources.
And overall, we seem to be a town with lots of foundations.
Lots of very good foundations.
Very good foundations. And I know you are like top 10 tier in town in terms of, I believe it is assets. Am I correct in stating that information?
I think that is correct. We're unofficially, since we've not yet completed our audit for the year, but we're a little bit over $240 million at the Jewish Community Foundation in assets.
That is a lot of money.
It is.
So what does the Jewish Community Foundation do, and what are you focused on with that great amount of money that you do have?
Well, the Jewish Community Foundation has three main functions that I kind of describe as a three-legged stool. One is to raise these funds and encourage philanthropy by getting people to give more and to put money into the foundation. The other is to take care of that money by prudently investing it while it's in our care, and then to make sure that it's disseminated to effective nonprofits that are accountable to their donors and that reflect their donors' wishes. Layered on top of that, we do some philanthropy education, starting with members of the Jewish community who are 12 and 13 years old, to get them in the habit of giving back to the communities in which they're living and participating.
How do you tackle that? 12-year-olds learning about philanthropy. So,
great question,
let's
Ruth Baum Biggis.
Let's dive in there. 12-year-olds, 6th graders, 7th graders, kind of,
exactly.
Sort of.
Yeah. So we have a great program, actually. Just coming up this Thursday, we have what we call the Shuk, which is a Hebrew word for market. And that is a great program for teens to come learn about the different charitable organizations. The teens that participate are part of our program called the B'nai Tzedek program. And that program works with the young adults to try to get them to understand the different philanthropic needs within the community. They actually have a small charitable giving account. Well, some are not so small. They have a choice of how much money they want to put into it, but it's matched with some community resources through the foundation, and it gives them an opportunity to really learn about the spectrum of needs within our community and to get a sense of the joy that comes with giving.
So shopping for charity.
Exactly.
And who all will participate organization-wise then in this event on Thursday?
We have a number of organizations, about 20 to 25 organizations are included, different organizations from across the spectrum of the Jewish community, and here locally as well as abroad, a few organizations.
So primarily Jewish organizations.
Exactly.
And what are some of the things those organizations do? Can you give us any kind of idea for those who may not know?
Right. Yes. Well, some organizations that will be represented, there will be congregations, as well as the Jewish Family Service, the Jewish Vocational Service, I think, is coming. There is a Jewish Veterans Organization that seeks funds from us. There is a parochial school that raises money through this event. And help me out, Josh, what are some other ones?
Some of the different youth groups. There's certainly some organizations abroad in Israel in particular that do humanitarian work. And so really a broad spectrum, and it gives people a chance to really think about what their priorities are and what they want to accomplish with their giving.
So social welfare, education, health, I guess a little bit of recreation if you...
Right. Some camps are involved, and a real broad range, including some organizations that I think that the kids would never have known about but for coming to the Shuk. The Jewish Veterans Organization, which I mentioned before, is a particular favorite of the teenagers, and it's really just lovely to see the connections that some of them make with some veterans. We have had some from World War II. I think they're mostly gone now, but lovely intergenerational connections that are made at the Shuk.
And once these teens go through, do they make their decisions at the end of the Shuk, or do they have a time period in which they do that later?
Well, one of the goals is to have them do it at the Shuk when the energy is high and the information flow is fresh in their minds. They're not required to, but it's kind of fun to. But they can otherwise make it any other time during the course of the year.
Now, is this your only program dealing with that younger generation? And by that, I don't mean just 12-year-olds, but...
So we look at the kind of lineup of programs that we have at the foundation as a continuum of giving, an opportunity to start when you're very young, and as Lauren mentioned, to have an opportunity to become educated, to become better donors, and really to, you know, to give in a more sophisticated way. That's really one of our objectives, is to help people to give more thoughtfully and more meaningfully. And so following the B'nai Tzedek program, which actually people can maintain their funds into early adulthood during college and beyond, and they can still use their funds to make contributions during those years. But then we have a program called J-Lead, which is an exciting program for young adults. It's a giving circle where everybody that participates puts in $500 as an individual or as a couple. And they put in that money. Everybody kind of uses their funds to leverage what everybody else does collectively. And they review different grant applications from across the community. Most of the grants that they look at are things that are either serving the Jewish community specifically or programs that are done through Jewish organizations to really support the broader community. But these are really exciting. Some of the many innovative programs that they can then fund that really get them excited and enthusiastic. And then many of the participants go on to volunteer and to get involved with these organizations that they have the opportunity to learn about through J-Lead.
Can you give us an example of something that maybe they've funded?
Sure. Well, right down the street here is the Mitzvah Garden. It's a great program. It's right on the grounds of B'nai Yehuda, the temple congregation B'nai Yehuda. And the land was sitting there not being used. And so a few guys got together and they created a community garden. And what's really exciting, well, it's not exactly a community garden. What they do is they harvest through volunteers the different fruits and vegetables that then go back to the community, largely to the Jewish Family Services Food Pantry and to other organizations. But really what it is it's a chance to bring the community together to do good work and to give back to the community. There's a lot of education involved as well, and just a chance to have that social opportunity to work together on a common project.
And they really get to see their investment grow, literally.
Absolutely.
Right on the ground. Yeah. I did want to add that although Josh is describing programs that are operative within the Jewish community, about 25% of the grants that are made out of the Jewish Community Foundation go to charitable organizations outside of the Jewish community, including some of our premier arts and education and social service organizations here in Kansas City metropolitan area.
So who makes those decisions?
Well, good question. A lot of those decisions are made by the very individuals that put money into the foundation, or some combination of them and other family members. One of the things that we encourage is conversations around giving within family. So we have multi-generations of the same family making decisions about where their charitable dollars go. There are also some funds that are run by committee, and the foundation itself has a grants committee that uses its unrestricted resources from which to make grants.
Are there favorite things that the foundation likes to key in on, healthcare or education or just all over the map?
we at the foundation really view ourselves as fairly impartial to the particular areas that people choose to give. What we do really care about is that people find their passion and that they have an opportunity to give to that which really moves them. We are here to help them to find those passions, to connect them. So if somebody were to approach us, say they have the funds that Lauren was just mentioning are called donor advised funds, or in some cases restricted funds, but these are charitable checking accounts, for a lack of a better way of thinking mm-hmm. about it, that people can really hone in on what they want to accomplish with their philanthropic giving. And we're here at the foundation to be able to have people help them to learn about the different causes that are out there, to help them identify the needs that exist in the community, and to match them with their particular passions, hopefully to stimulate their giving and to allow them to give in a more efficient and meaningful way.
What are the different ways that people can give? You mentioned donor-advised funds. Maybe that's a place to start and then go from there on your menu.
Sure.
Opportunity.
Donor-advised fund works sort of like a savings account would, that you would establish at a bank for your own spending later, only it's put into the foundation for spending for philanthropic purposes later. So either with cash or with securities, mutual fund shares usually, sometimes even with real estate, people make a contribution. If the asset needs to be liquidated, we do that. And it's deposited into an account. By a simple agreement between the donor and the foundation, we kind of set up the rules for how that money can be spent. They need to be spent by distributing to a 501c3 organization that isn't at least inconsistent with the mission of the Jewish Community Foundation. And beyond that, it really is up to the donor's intent, their passion, their imagination, to determine where that that money ultimately goes. There are also restricted funds, some of which are in permanent endowment funds, that reflect a donor's passion about a particular organization or a cause, a field of interest, we call it. And then there are also funds that nonprofits actually contribute themselves for administration and management purposes by the foundation.
Now, do they have to be Jewish organizations to have that option?
They do not.
Oh, that's interesting. It was not something I was aware of. So any organization that's a 501c3.
That's correct.
Could come to you.
Right.
They
exactly.
could house that, and then you can do the administrative.
Help them with the administration and investment of those funds, exactly.
Now, are there any requirements of when donor-advised funds or other funds have to spend money by, or could it just sit there and pine away and get bigger and bigger?
Well, that's one of the nice things about donor-advised funds as compared to private foundations or some other vehicles. Really, donor-advised funds allow people to give in some ways in the most anonymous ways if they choose to do so, because they're doing so through the Jewish Community Foundation. But in terms of how the funds are spent, they really have the opportunity to give out the funds as they see fit, as they are, you know, as they decide for their own purposes. There's no minimum requirement that they need to give out in any given year. Our feeling is obviously that we like to see the money going out into the community. That's what, you know, we're all motivated by, and we love to see the results of people's generosity. But at the same time, for those people that choose to have their funds grow within their donor advised funds, those funds are invested. And some people, you know, have them sitting there for a larger project that they want to fund down the road, or they have them there available for their children or a successor to have the opportunity to continue in their you know, in their generous ways.
We have other donors who actually distribute 100% of the balance on the first day of the year every year. And so they're very active both in putting their funds into the foundation as well as making distributions out.
Now, are there requirements for setting up a donor advice fund in terms of the amount of money you have to put in?
So the minimums that we have right now are $5,000 to establish a donor advised fund for those who are over 35. For people under 35, that minimum is actually $2,500. But as Lauren mentioned, there's no minimum maintenance requirement, so people can give out the money as they choose to do so. And I think that what many people find is that, well, a couple of things. Number one, it's very easy to establish a fund. I think people are surprised by that. They think it's something that'll be really complicated, and it's something that can really be done in one day if people are interested to just go ahead and get it set up. The advantages are that when the funds go into their donor-advised fund, they get an immediate tax deduction for those funds that go into the foundation. And so it allows people to be a little more strategic in their tax planning and then to give out the money when they choose to do so. The other thing is that, it really gives them the flexibility to give to whatever causes they want to give to when they want to give it. And it's just a really nice vehicle in that way. I think that a lot of people are surprised when they think about their total charitable giving and how quick that adds up to the amount that it does. And so for a lot of people that may not think, I mean, some people think that donor advised funds are more of a tool for the very wealthy or the high net worth individuals. And it's not necessarily the case. We have many people who open donor advised funds in their 30s, 40s, even 20s, because they find that it's a good resource for them to handle their giving.
When you look to invest, what do you invest in?
Huh. Well, if I only could tell you. We thankfully have experts who help us with that. We employ a strategy that's called the Chief Investment Officer Model. We have a firm that's called the Strategic Investment Group that is our CIO firm, and they hire managers across the asset spectrum to invest our money in two primarily design pools, one for shorter-term funds and one for longer-term funds. And we have a really excellent investment committee of the board that oversees the work of the CIO and works in tandem to develop policies and also to help donors assess exactly what their risk tolerance is and what their time horizon is to choose the investment that makes sense for their intended use of their money.
Folks want to get involved with you, maybe by investing, are there volunteer opportunities as well for your organization?
Well, we do have some volunteer opportunities. They're not traditional ones. Of course, we have a very active and excellent board of 33 members that are involved. Those are our primary volunteers. But we do have volunteers that assist us through service on some of our committees who are not board members. And in addition to that, we have some volunteers who are working with our two youth-oriented programs that Josh mentioned, as well as our planned giving program, which is called Create a Jewish Legacy, which is a very, very active program for the development of primarily endowed but significant gifts from people's estate plans.
So Jewish Community Foundation of Greater Kansas City does all kinds of wonderful things, helping all kinds of organizations. Share with us the website so if folks want to go check you out in more detail.
The website is jcfkc.org, and there's a whole lot of information there as well as an opportunity to learn about the organization, but also there's also, Lauren just mentioned planned giving. There's a whole separate section of the website where people can use the tools to really help them to plan make their estate plans, and so that they go to their planned giving, their professional advisors with a much greater sense of what they want to accomplish and how to accomplish it. But yeah, there's a wealth of information all across our website.
And also on our Facebook page where there's some fun information and stories about donors and pictures.
Well, be sure to check out the Jewish Community Foundation, www.jcfkc.org, and also their Facebook page where you can hear good stories of people doing good things and sharing their little bit of their treasure to make this a better place. Thank you guys for finally coming on the show. I know we had to dance around schedules, but I'm so glad you could be
here.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. Yeah.
You betcha. We'll be back after this. Okay.